Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," writes Paul, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it," that is, in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." Verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," he says, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Just three things I want to say briefly. The first of them is this: the gospel is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Now, the vicar at one former church of mine, when we were all still students, used to bang on and on about the power of the gospel. And he had this amazing story, which I don't think is apocryphal. I think I've now learnt the person it involves. But Christian man at customs, baggage check-in at the airport. "Does your bag contain any of the following items, sir?" And you know how it used to go. They'd hold up one of these laminated sheets and ask if you'd accidentally brought a firearm or a knife or something in your hand luggage. Christian man answers, "No, but it does contain something highly explosive. There is something dynamite in the middle of all of my clothes." This is pre-9/11, so I think he lived to tell the tale. But you don't need me to tell you how it finishes. That story overcomes security. You sort of rifle through the clothes, chuck out all of various bits and bobs. What is there in the middle? Well, of course, it is the man's Bible, something dynamite. It's the Greek word from which we get dynamite here in the middle of all of his clothes. And Paul's point, you see, is that the Bible, that the gospel, is really powerful. And in fact, that is what Paul and what every Christian, I think, knows. It is powerful to change us. And it's powerful to transform us very deeply, because through it, through the gospel, the voice of the living God is heard. You might be able to exchange similar stories like this around your tables later on, but I can still remember the first time I ever really heard the gospel, or at least the first time I understood it properly. I was a student, I was at a Bible study at a church in Durham, and the gospel changed my world. You know, it transformed my perspectives and my attitudes and my actions. It transformed my sense of purpose in the world. And in due course, it transformed my behaviour. It changed the way that I thought about others. It transformed my whole understanding of the world. And it's not just me, of course, who's been affected by the gospel. We could plot its course throughout the whole of the West. Say, think of Wilberforce, maybe, and slavery. A man gripped by the gospel. And, of course, with Wilberforce, we know the rest. Why do we want to share the gospel in the midst of busy working London? Well, firstly, it is powerful, says Paul. God's words can change God's world. But more to the point, says Paul, it is powerful, that it is able to bring salvation. Only this, he says, can address the greatest problem of the world. This is the second thing I want to say. The gospel is powerful to save. Verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel," writes Paul, "for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Now, look, if we had time today, we could probably make a list between us of everything the gospel saves us from. And I hope there'll be lots of things between us. In fact, there are lots of things in Romans about precisely what the gospel saves us from. So we might think of our slavery, what the Bible calls our slavery to sin. Or the redemption of our failing fleshly bodies. Or we could think about our sort of insecurities and the secure identity we find in him. All of the insecurities we're saved from about things like our bodies. But I think we get a hint down there in 1 verse 17 of the centre of this message for the world. The centre of this gospel hope. And it is, do you notice, of righteousness. That is salvation from God's wrath towards the world. To be declared righteous just means to be declared right in God's sight. Verse 18, the wrath of God, says Paul, is being revealed. And forgive me if this is obvious to everyone in the room, but there is no greater need for men and women in this city than getting right with God before he comes to judge. That is, getting right with Jesus. He is God's king. He has ascended. And the Bible is very clear that he will judge. You shall break them, the Father says to him in Psalm 2, with a rod of iron. You shall dash these rebels into pieces like a potter's vessel. Why do the nations rage and the people's plot in vain? Why do they take counsel together against the Lord? Paul says, verse 16 in the gospel is the one way to be made righteous. It is the one way people can be made right with God. It is the one way, he says, to find forgiveness. It is the one way to find a new verdict long before the day that we have to meet God's. And wonderfully, it is an offer, says Paul, that is just received by faith. Did you spot that, verse 17? It's not a great list of long things to do. It's not a sort of religious ritual. It is just something to believe in, just a message, just a gospel. But it is the power of God to rescue people like me and you. If you've been brought along today and you're not familiar with the Christian faith, this is what it is about. Rescue, not rules. Rescue from the God who made the universe. The gospel is powerful. The gospel is powerful to save. Thirdly, more briefly, the gospel is powerful to save anyone. Now, look, I think it is pretty obvious, but Jew and Greek, verse 16, is synonymous with men or women or children, literally anyone. And it's synonymous with each one of our colleagues. That is, Paul says, who needs the gospel. And it is God's power, he says, to save anyone. Now, that doesn't mean no strategy, and that doesn't mean no focus, and that doesn't mean you won't have to split your time to sort of look after your family or serve within a local church. It doesn't mean that you can't ever give up office social time. But it does mean being optimistic, I think. Because Paul is saying, as we share this gospel, it is really true that our colleagues could be saved. Could happen. And it does mean being realistic. They all desperately need the gospel. He says, without it, Jew or Greek, they won't be saved. It's interesting, isn't it? Verse 15, so the immediately preceding verse, Paul saying he is eager to come and preach to them. Why? Well, because as he asks later, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? It does mean being optimistic. As we share the gospel, it's really true, our colleagues could be saved. But so too, being realistic. Everyone in our office needs the gospel. Paul's saying, without it, Jew or Greek, they won't be saved. The gospel's powerful. The gospel is powerful to save anyone. Now, look, we must turn to our interviews. But here, within the city, there are millions of people with no access to a church. They've got no access to the gospel through sort of formal institutions. Or they might even be tied up with a sort of dodgy church that they think they're hearing about Jesus, but they're not hearing about the real one. And if they are going to hear the gospel, somebody needs to share it. And somebody needs to put their neck on the line for the sake of the Christian faith. Somebody, anybody needs to get out there with the gospel, either bring people somewhere to hear it, you might bring them to a talk or an event, or just share it themselves because they're unashamed. And this year, in your office, we at the Fleet Street Talks would love to help you do that. We exist, as I said at the start, so that people might be saved. So please, this year, do come and join us as we work together for the gospel. Join us as we seek to proclaim the gospel. Join us every lunchtime on a Wednesday. We're going to hear an interview in a sec, but first, why don't I say a short prayer, and then I'll hand over to Sarah. Our Father, we thank you that though your wrath should rightly fall on each one of us for the ways that we have rejected you, and for the ways that we've worshipped ourselves rather than our Creator, we thank you that you have made a way that we can be saved. And we pray this year that many people would discover that for themselves, that many people would accept that offer of rescue for themselves. And we pray that they would even come to discover it through us here at these lunchtime talks. In Jesus' name, amen.